Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours. Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And we did not record an episode last week, so we are catching up this week. There were just some scheduling conflicts and then things just got too crazy. So we decided that we wouldn't record last week. So we are picking back up this week and continuing on moving forward.
Woot, woot. Did you ever end up watching Paris is Burning?
I did.
I also watched Paris is Burning.
I actually watched it before I asked you if you had watched it and you wanted to talk about it. I watched it almost a month ago now.
Oh, dang. All right. Yeah. Well, I did watch it last weekend in preparation for the episode that we didn't end up recording.
Yeah.
But also, look at this horrific sunburn.
You have to wear sunscreen and reapply. You are too Caucasian to not wear sunscreen.
That is true. That is unfortunate, but accurate. No, I wasn't anticipating being outside. So what happened was I went on a date with my friend Cadence and we went out to brunch. But where we went out to brunch, they had an outdoor chess set and we ended up playing a game of chess. I did not realize I was going to be outside. Otherwise, I would have put on sunscreen. But no. No. My dumb ass was like, I don't need sunscreen. I'm going to be indoors the whole time. Okay. So anyway. So I am hella burnt. It's bad.
It looks bad. Do you at least have like aloe vera and stuff that you can put on it?
I have some good moisturizing lotion that I've been using, and that is helping, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, I have a real quick update before we get into whatever we're going to talk about this week. Okay. I received my grade for my assignment, and they gave me a 0. And told me that I have to take an extension course that I have to pay out of pocket for because, quote, the topic is too simple and probably not doctoral research. There's a good body of literature that has demonstrated the value of and influence of video audiovisual materials on human learning. Evaluating if the use of videos in corporate training produces better learning outcomes is superficial and needs future and deeper elaboration. The inventory, description, and critical analysis of the literature to craft your research problem and create a solid framework in the literature review are superficial and weak. You need to work on this and evaluate the level of your academic work, or and elevate the level of your academic work. So that's that. And I'm super frustrated and very annoyed. So I reached out to my student success advisor, whatever the hell they're called. And I was just like, listen, this is the information that I was provided. I don't feel that the instructor or my RPC, which is supposed to be the person that is supposed to be helping me with my doctoral research and my applied research project, I don't feel they gave me sufficient enough feedback on the items that I did turn in. My RPC has not reached out to me, has not worked with me at all through this entire term. I had an email from her at the beginning of the term where our instructor introduced us to them. I had a meeting with her last term before this term started and talked her through what my entire paper was going to be about, the plan for what I was going to do, and she signed off on it and said that she agreed that it would be fine. Haven't heard anything from her. I emailed her during the Unit 7 assignment, actually after Unit 7, before Unit 8 was due, and asked for some feedback and asked if she could take a look at it and give me some feedback. The email that I sent her bounced back and said that her email address was no longer active in the Purdue University Global campus. And then I reached out to my instructor and he basically told me, I won't look at your Unit 8 assignment until I grade it. You need to look at the information I gave you, the feedback I gave you in your Unit 7 assignment, which didn't come until 4 hours after the due date of my Unit 8 assignment. He said, you need to look at the feedback that I gave you in your Unit 7 assignment and apply what I gave you in your Unit 7 assignment. When I looked at the Unit 7 assignment, it was basically like, you need to include more information, include more background, give a pretty defined. So I had already done all of those because between the time of my Unit 7 assignment was turned in and when my Unit 8 assignment was due, I had done a bunch of work to the assignment because I stayed home one day. I didn't work one day and just worked one full day on it and just focused specifically on that. I added more research about constructing a curriculum that includes video learning and visual aids in training in a corporate setting. I included more information about the background of my project basis, and I had thought I had met all of his criteria. The only thing that I didn't meet was he basically told me that he didn't think that my focus was a good topic, basically. And I'm not going to restart when my Unit 8 assignment is due, completely throw everything away just because he doesn't like my topic.
Right.
I didn't receive any feedback from him. I didn't have any information from him until I received the email on, when was it, Thursday or Friday? I think it was Thursday night. So I replied to him and I asked, like, I said, I don't understand kind of where this is coming from. Let me see if I can find my review or my response. So this is my response to him. Thank you for your feedback. I guess I'm feeling a little confused and disoriented with the response of this topic and research that was included in my chapters 1 and 2. I'm a little taken aback by the comments about the topic not being robust enough, mainly based on the conversation that we had earlier in the term, because him and I had a conversation in like Unit 4. And I explained what the topic was, why I thought it would be a good idea to do it for this this doctoral research project. And he said, yeah, that sounds fine, as long as you include these things. And he gave me the things that I included, and I included them. Mm-hmm. And I said, mainly based on the conversation we had earlier in the term and the work that I did with my RPC, her name, and I discussed that her and I discussed last term. Please let me know when would be a good time to discuss this further. Based on the feedback included, it sounds like I'm going to need to completely scrap everything I did and start all over with a new topic. So he sent me an email, the email that I just read you earlier, at 11:49 p.m. on Thursday. I responded at 12:38 a.m. on Friday, so less than an hour later. I have yet to receive a response from him. I included my RPC. I have yet to receive a response from her. And whenever I reached out to my
academic advisor.
Yeah, academic advisor. And basically told her the issues that I'm running into and kind of like the way that I feel I didn't receive enough feedback. I didn't receive enough support from the RPC, who is their main focus, supposed to be their main focus. She said, I understand your concern. I would suggest you reach out to the director and explain these concerns with her. So I emailed the director and I explained.
Still haven't heard back?
I heard back from the director. Okay. So I basically explained everything that's going on and explained that I met with my advisor already. And by the time I got guidance on my Unit 8 assignment, it was too late for me to do anything because it was already past due, or before I got feedback on my Unit 8 assignment. And she responded, "Thank you for reaching out. I'm sorry to hear about your challenges you're facing with your ED810 course and the feedback you received. I will look into the issue with your RPC's email and see if I can get an update with her availability. I will also review the timeline of your feedback and you received and your assignments. In the meantime, could you please provide me the name of your RPC you had previously? This will help me gather more information. I appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and I will do my best to provide some guidance as quickly as possible." So I responded and I said, "As I understand it, I am still working with my RPC. I am still waiting to hear back from both of her and my instructor, and I emailed them, but the email was just sent last evening, so I anticipate an answer sometime today, hopefully." And she said, "Okay, give them, if they don't respond today, please let me know." So yeah, she basically said, "Okay, it is best that you wait until you hear back. If you do not receive response today, please let me know, and I will escalate your concerns." So that was yesterday, and I, again, haven't received any response. I would say, well, maybe he's busy, but then he sent an email blast out last night or yesterday afternoon to all of the other students in the class, and basically said, "You're not done. You still have to do your discussion 10 discussion board and post commentary. And if you don't, then there's a potential for you to remove, for us to update your grades." So I'm just like, I'm super frustrated and I'm kind of pissed, and no one's really answering me. Whenever I reached out to my student success advisor, she didn't really do anything other mm-hmm. than tell me to reach out to the director. And whenever she sent that, she didn't really give me very much information to go off of either. She basically didn't, like, I asked her, I said, "I'm reaching out because I received notification that my instructor is not approving me to proceed to ED820. I really need to discuss the options moving forward. The feedback that was provided was about the topic not being robust enough and superficial for a doctoral program. I'm a little confused about the feedback since he and I had a conversation about it in Unit 4, and he seemed to agree that it would be appropriate, and my RPC reviewed and agreed, and the proposal topic was fine for my focus. I've also not heard anything from my RPC since the beginning of the term. When I emailed her in Unit 7, the email bounced back and said it was no longer valid. Please contact me." And she responded and said that about, "I understand your concern. Reach out to the director." And then I asked her, so I said, "Thank you for that contact information. I'm still not sure what I'm supposed to do about the extension course that I'm being told I need to complete. It seems like I was not provided enough guidance or assistance with this part of the assignment to ensure success based on the conversations or lack thereof with my RPC and instructor." And I didn't receive any email back from her either. So I'm kind of frustrated and pissed off about this entire doctoral program. I need to finish it because that's a lot of wasted time and a lot of wasted money that I need I have to have a degree for. Mm-hmm. I should have a degree to kind of provide that. But my biggest issue is I, again, never received any feedback from anyone until after it had been turned in and it had been graded. That's not the way that this should work. That's not the way that schooling should work. Like, it doesn't make sense, especially for this type of thing where the rest of the grades, so for these classes, the rest of the grades don't really matter. I mean, they do kind of matter, but they don't really have as much impact as the final assignment, which is worth over half of your grade. Right. And the final assignment basically determines whether you pass or you need to take an extension course. So my thinking would be, someone should be working very closely with you. The focus should be on constructing the items and the requirements and the different aspects of your assignment and of your applied research project. That should be the focus. Don't make me learn other bullshit that's not necessary for this, unless it's about, like, this is how you do research. This is how you construct a research problem. That shit shouldn't be included unless it's specifically about how to craft the stuff for your chapter assignment, for your chapters that you're supposed to be working on, for your applied research project. That's not what this program is. It's just a bunch of bullshit that has nothing to do with it other than you have to give other people feedback. And I'm like, I don't need other people's feedback. I need feedback from my instructor and from the person that's supposed to be helping me through this process. And I didn't receive it other than saying, basically, your topic isn't robust enough. Your topic isn't good enough for a doctoral applied research, which doesn't make sense because in last term and the conversation that I had with him earlier, they said it was fine. They said it would work perfectly fine. It seems applicable to what you want to do. So I don't understand where it went from unit 4, this is applicable. Yeah, that's totally fine. What we discussed works fine for your research, to this isn't robust enough and it seems superficial.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
So I'm going to wait until Monday and see if he replies, if either one of them replies by Monday. And if no one replies by Monday, I'm going to send a scathing email to the director and be like, listen, I haven't gotten any response from anyone. And he's been posting and he's sent out emails. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense that I'm not getting a response to the email right. That I sent out. And it wasn't like, the email that I sent didn't seem very, I don't think I worded it accusatory that he wasn't doing his job. I was basically, I'm taken aback and just kind of came out of nowhere because the feedback wasn't provided until after I had already turned in my assignment. So, but what really frustrates me is the other thing that really frustrates me is that my advisor isn't even telling me what I need to do next.
Right. Like
if I need to take the extension course, fine, whatever. I'll take the extension course, but what the fuck does the extension course look like? And if it's just going to be a bunch of bullshit like I just did and I just had to deal with, and it's not someone focusing on this specifically, then I don't want to take it. You should just move me forward and I can continue revitalizing and reconstructing my unit or my chapters 1 and 2 through the next courses. That's bullshit if it's not going to be someone focusing on, here's the feedback that you were provided for your chapters 1 and 2. Here's what we can do to kind of make it more robust or change it and kind of help it out. Right. Unless that's exactly what the extension course is, then there's no reason for me to take the extension course.
Agreed.
So I'm super pissed off and I'm frustrated and I'm just like, I'm trying to write my unit 10 discussion board and I'm like, I don't even want to do my unit 10 discussion board because it's all about like how we're going to do our. So the unit 10 discussion board is supposed to include where your research study will take place, who's going to be your participants, how you collect and record the information from your human subjects, and then the current progress of completing a certification program that I already completed. So it's like, if my entire topic is going to completely change, there's no reason for me to do this.
Right.
I shouldn't have to do this discussion board. So I'm like, I'm walking through how to do this. And I'm like, I don't really know if I even should do this. So that was a fun way to not sleep on Thursday evening into Friday day and then try and focus on work all day Friday.
I'm sorry.
And I had a meeting with Karen, my supervisor friend, and I told her about it and I completely lost it and started crying whenever I was talking to her about it because I was so frustrated and overwhelmed. And then in the middle of my breakdown, Karen was like, go ahead and because we were on like a Teams call, we were supposed to be like going over things that we did all week and then what next week is supposed to look like and if we needed any help and all that. And she was like, well, go ahead and call me back when you're kind of ready and collect yourself. And in the middle of my breakdown, I hear a knock on my door and it's the maintenance people here coming to change the air filter. And I didn't receive an email saying that someone was going to need access to my apartment or someone would be entering my apartment. A couple weeks ago, they were doing the fire alarm checks. Mm-hmm. And someone knocked on my door while I was here doing work and in the middle of a meeting. And I had to stop my meeting, go answer the door for them to tell me, oh, we need access to your apartment because we're checking the fire alarm. Again, didn't have an email from anyone. And I sent an email to the office and I was like, I don't know if you are just not sending out these emails or if I'm not receiving them, but please make sure you have the right email address for me. And I text Ryan and I was like, did you receive an email from anyone about this? And he said he hadn't either until the email that I had sent. And then they kind of responded to with adding him and me. And they said, oh, we sent it out BCC, so you should have received it. If you didn't receive it, please let us know what your email address is. And I was like, obviously you didn't send it to me because I didn't fucking receive it. Right. It didn't go into my scam, or it didn't go into my junk folder. Go into my spam. I didn't receive anything from you people. And they're like, well, going forward, we will try to send it out to you individually. Like, maybe you should do that anyway, because it doesn't seem like the way that you're doing it is working, because I haven't received any fucking emails from you people. So I had a fun Friday. I'll just put it that way. And a fun Friday. Okay. And then today was fine. I went and got my, I had an eye exam because I wanted new glasses and I needed my prescription updated because it had expired. So I went to LensCrafters and got my eyes tested. And I think one of them stayed the same. And then the other one, it went from 0.5 to 0.75. So it barely changed. And he was like, honestly, the glasses that you have now should be perfectly fine too. It's just, this will be a little clearer. And I was like, that's fine. I wanted to get new glasses anyway. So I ordered a new pair of glasses and a new pair of sunglasses because I had $900 in my flexible spending account that is only allowed to be used for vision and dental. Yeah. So I was like, I'll get new glasses. So I got a new pair of glasses. They're similar to these, but they're a little bit smaller frames. And this is clear.
Oh, okay.
And then my sunglasses are not really like these at all. So I'm excited about them. I like my sunglasses. I mean, I have two pair of these that are basically like this. One of them is this exact same frame. And then the other one is a brown frame. Or no, a gray frame. And then I have a pair of the Ray-Ban with the camera built into them as a pair of sunglasses. And then I have these, and I have a brown pair of these with the same prescription and a green pair with the same prescription. They don't look like this. So I'll have a bunch of options for glasses and sunglasses.
There you go.
And I didn't have to pay for any of it because it came out of my health spending account.
Which we love. I didn't have, like, I also had a full-on meltdown yesterday. I also had a full-on meltdown on Monday. I think it was just that week, to be honest. It just feels like, I don't know. But I had a breakdown on Friday because of stuff going on at work.
Yeah. I think everybody's just going through it because Ryan's having issues at his work too. And he's like, he doesn't like the way that they seat people because he'll have like one table and then someone else that is working like really close to where he is working will have like seven tables. So they're not giving out tables equitably,
right?
To all the servers. And I'm like, I don't understand why you still work in the service industry anyway. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand why he still does it. He could get a job that isn't in the service industry, that is just like a regular Monday through Friday 9 to 5, and just do that. And he said, well, this is all I'm good at. I'm like, I don't know that that's true, but whatever. So he's applying for new places. But what's going on with you?
I'm also applying for new places, but the way that it is now, it's so hard to get a job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's been bad for a while because it was bad last year when I was trying to find a job. But it's somehow worse now because everybody's using AI. I don't use AI. I don't believe that using AI is ethical in this scenario where I'm trying to find employment. I don't feel like you need AI to be sorting shit out for you. Like, the whole point is you are looking for somebody for this job, not the AI, you. So if you're using AI to sort through your shit, you're missing out on people who qualify literally just because you're setting like one word or two words.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. So jobs that I'm overqualified for, I'm still getting rejection because they're all using AI to sort stuff.
Yeah, that is frustrating. I actually just applied for a different job too, but it's like within Boston Scientific.
Right.
And the hiring manager reached out and said she would like to meet and discuss the open role. It's not an interview, but she just wanted to talk about it a little bit more and see if it's work that I would be interested in doing. Mm-hmm. To just see, just make sure. It's like, I don't understand, like, it makes sense. So it's senior specialist training and development and facilitation. So it's like, it's basically what I'm already doing just for a different group. Mm-hmm. Like, it's specifically for like the talent management group and not. So it's kind of what I want to do anyway. I want to move away from focusing on a facility and do like executive development, like what, right. Like, what are we doing to develop people? And like, what systems can we use? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. So that's, I have that on Tuesday. I meet with her on Tuesday to discuss it.
I have a performance review on Wednesday. I don't know. I'm burnt out. Honestly, if I'm being honest, I am just burnt out. I really need to not work for a little bit and just focus on myself, but I can't afford that. So I don't. But I mean, I'm still trying. I'm like, I'm applying, but like the other thing too, is like, I've kind of reached this point where it's like, what's the point of more money if I am feeling like, so I'm feeling so unfulfilled.
Yeah.
In like so many ways. And like, I get it. Not every job is going to be fulfilling. And I understand that, but like, I'm turning 37 this year and I've worked enough jobs that I found disheartening, frustrating, abusive. Like, I deserve to do something that like gives me some fulfillment.
No.
Like, I deserve to do something that gives me fulfillment and pays my bills.
So I guess my thing is, are you going to be able to find that where you are?
I don't know.
Because maybe you start looking elsewhere. Like, I know you say you like Texas and you like, well, you don't like Texas, but you like where you live. And you like the environment that you live in.
Yeah, but I've worked really hard to create the community that I have.
Yeah. But is that area conducive to what you want to do and how you want to, like, what you need?
Right.
Personally, maybe, yes. But from a professional side, is it?
I don't know. The other issue that I run into is I don't have a high enough degree.
Yeah.
For some things. So like, yes, I have a degree in library science, but because it's only an associate's, I can't seem to get a library job, but I can't go back to school because I can't work full time and go to school. I'm not like other people. Like, that's, I did do that. I worked 5 jobs and went to school full time.
Yeah.
Like, I've done that. I don't have the capacity for that anymore. I don't, like, not since long COVID. I don't have the same capacity I did before.
Yeah. Would it be like, maybe instead of taking the amount of classes you were taking, you took like one at a time?
The problem is that financial aid won't cover that.
You have to be, yeah, it has to be at least 6 credits.
Yeah.
6 credit hours.
Yep. And it's just like, I don't know. It feels like no matter what I do, I keep running into like these roadblocks and I'm just so tired of it. But the main thing this weekend is just, I'm also just really tired of the hypocrisy of corporate life. Like, we're supposed to, they literally tell us when we're in training for my job that we can go to any location and it's the same process at every location. That is not true.
No.
That is not true at all. Not only is it not true, but there are multiple locations who are doing everything completely wrong and they're still getting away with it. Like, nobody seems to care. And like, I've brought this up with my manager. Like, I've told my manager, you know, hey, like, why is this like this? If we're all supposed to be on the same page and we're all supposed to be able to just go from place to place and not run into this, why is this still being allowed? Why does this person still have a position if they're literally not doing their job?
Yeah. It's crazy sometimes how corporations work. Because like in similar kind of focus, like in the Spencer facility, if someone didn't come in for 2 days, didn't call, didn't come in, they would be terminated immediately.
Right.
In this facility, I guess this one person has been out for almost, I think, a couple weeks is what my boss said, and hasn't called or anything. But they're still like, they're still employed. I'm like, why?
Right.
The second no call, no show, the policy is after 2 no call, no shows, you're terminated. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a point system where if you get to a certain number of points, they obviously have to, like, typically, unless it's like a circumstance like this where it's like drastic, then they typically have to give like a verbal and then a written and then a final and then you're terminated.
Yeah.
It's not just it gets up to 10 and you're gone. But in this case, it's like any other facility, that person would have already been terminated.
Yeah.
But they are like that. And it's like everywhere there's people that have been out for a long time and they're still active, but they've been out. And it's, I think a lot of it is because of Massachusetts having, it's good for the worker, but it's weird for like, especially us, because we're training and we have to review all the training and tell people when they're out of compliance and when people are overdue. And we have a bunch of people that are out on, it'll start as short-term leave. And for short-term leave, the system doesn't, like when they go out on short-term leave, it doesn't deactivate them in the system. So they continue to show up on our reports, continue to show as overdue for training. Mm-hmm. But when they go out on long-term leave, which is usually like 6 months more, then they get deactivated in the system and put on as inactive because they're on long-term leave.
Right.
But the way that it's being done in Massachusetts is they go out on short-term leave and then it just keeps getting extended and keeps getting extended and keeps getting extended. And this one person has been out for 2 years, but they've been out on short-term leave for 2 years and it just kept getting extended.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and then, I don't know what happened, but I guess they weren't able to come back. So we received a termination notice for them, but it's like, yeah, she's been out for 2 years. She shouldn't be back. And if she does come back, how is she going to know what she's supposed to be doing? It's insane.
Right. I've hit my limit. Yeah. I hit my limit. And I just don't know what to do about that. And I've been trying. I would love to be able to write more.
Yeah.
Which is something I've been doing, like, in my personal life. I've been writing more. I've been coming up with more ideas. Which is usually a sign that I'm coming out of a bad depression, but I don't feel like I'm actually coming out of the depression. Like, on Monday, I had like a full meltdown. Like, I literally actually got really scared that I was gonna do something stupid because I just finally hit my limit where I was just like, this is too much. I can't do this anymore. But it's like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not how I want to live. You know, I don't want to die. But I also don't want to live. Make that make sense.
Yeah.
It's that I don't want to live like this. I just don't know what to do to fix it. But like, I mean, I'm trying. It's just slow going. And then of course, you know, the world is on fire. So
it's frustrating.
Agreed.
I'm going to send you something. But I'll do it after this. So have you, I'll ask you about it. Do you know what Masterclass is?
No.
So it's like a, I can't even like explain. So it's like the focus is people that are from an industry. They do kind of like TED Talk like things where they provide like tips and tricks on things or walk you through how to spark creativity or gain I don't know. I'm not. I don't know how I'm trying to. Let me just hold on. Let me just look it up. Masterclass. So, let's see. So here's some reviews for people, for new members. So this is one person that says, it gives me the ability to use my downtime to learn new things instead of just scrolling on social media. I have not found another platform that offers the same level and amount of amazing learning opportunities. I like the vast range of classes that are available on this platform. There's literally something for everyone. So let me see exactly kind of like what. So on here, you choose kind of what you want to do. You get unlimited access to thousands of bites. They're called bite-sized learnings. I think like Michelle Obama has a few videos on Masterclass. Like a bunch of like really influential people have, like, they talk about like, here's how like I worked through this issue, or here's how I kind of get my creativity process done. So you choose like what you want to learn from. So there's develop my career or leadership skills, become a better actor, musician, or writer. Cultivate a healthy and active lifestyle, learn about science and technology, become a better chef, improve my style, art and interior design, or something else. So you can choose, and then you go through this questionnaire and put through, like, you choose your topics of interest. And then it kind of curates some classes for you that you might find interesting. And then it says there's 200 plus classes, sessions, and original series that you can watch. There's audio only sessions, download and watch offline. So it's like a bunch of stuff that is kind of there to help curate and make, like, encourage creativity.
Okay. Did you notice that I was gone at all?
I did, yes. I saw your screen turn black and I was like, what just happened? But what just happened?
I have no idea, because my internet stayed connected the whole time, but for whatever reason, it decided to disconnect me from the meeting. Weird. And then just pop me back in. So here we are. So what I heard of what you were saying sounds great, and I'll look into it. But yeah, I did miss some.
Yeah. Well, look into it and let me know what you think. And if you think it's something that you would like to do, I will gift you a subscription.
Oh. You're so sweet. It's true. He really is. He's the bestest best.
I'm not that nice.
He's making faces at me because he feels uncomfortable when I compliment him on how nice he is.
I do feel uncomfortable when people tell me I'm nice, because that's not my persona. That's not what I want people to think of me.
I love that. You don't want people to think you're nice.
I like to be an asshole. That's not true. I've said it before. Everyone likes me. And if you don't, you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't, like, it's like there's something wrong with you. Speaking of there's something wrong with people, we haven't talked about the Paris is Burning yet, but we can get into that here in a few minutes. But did you see Drag Race All Stars season 10 just finished? And they crowned a winner.
Who was the winner?
So that's the whole discourse online. Everybody's so upset because it was kind of, at the moment that they saw that this person was cast in this season, it was like, oh, they're going to be the winner. There's like no one else is going to win. It's going to be set up to where this person is the winner. And so spoiler alerts ahead. The new All-Stars season 10 winner is Ginger Minj. Mm-hmm. And everybody's frustrated. So it came down to, it was a lip sync Lollapalooza, which I don't understand and I absolutely hate. And it came down to eight queens, and they paired them up two by two, and kind of like, it was like a bracket. So whoever won from this group would move on to the next round. Whoever won from this group would move on to the next round, and then they would battle the other person. It went from 8 to 4 to 2. And it ended up with Georges and Ginger Minj. And I saw all this discourse online about, oh, Georges was robbed. She should have won. She was the true winner of All Stars season 10 and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't agree. Yes, Georges is an amazing queen. She's good at what she does. She flips. She does tricks. She does all that. But, and she's funny now. Like, I wasn't super impressed by her comedy. But she was funny. Ginger Minj is a better all around, well-rounded drag queen. Mm-hmm. She's funny. She's good at improv. She's good at drag. She's a singer. She dances some. She's not a great dancer, but who cares? She can hold a conversation. She can interview. So she is a full package, a well-rounded package that makes sense to be a winner of Drag Race All-Stars. Georges can't really host or hold conversations very well. And without like going into you can tell she's not paying attention because she like goes off on tangents and doesn't really pay attention. That's not like, to me, that's not what makes a good drag All-Stars winner. She did great. She did an amazing job. She was good all season. I agree that she did great. But when I look back and I see everything that Ginger Minj did, I feel like Ginger Minj was a justified winner. Do I think she beat her in the lip sync? Probably not. But I don't think lip syncs are should be how you decide who wins Drag Race. To me, it should be who did best throughout the season. A lip sync should not determine that, because what if you have an amazing drag queen that does everything great, but you have another drag queen that is a better lip syncer because right. they can do more twists and dance and all that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was unjust. I think the person that deserves the win won. If Ginger Minj wasn't there, should Georges have won? Yes. I think she was the second best, but she did not deserve the win. That's just me. And like everybody online is like, oh, she won. She Georges was the winner. She was the winner of All Stars. I'm like, you can have that opinion. But for the show, the person that they chose to win was Ginger Minj. Mm-hmm. Get over it. Move on. Don't tell Ginger Minj that her win wasn't justified, because it's none of your business. Like, that's who on the show they decided to win.
True.
It's so toxic the way that the Drag Race fans are. And like, I've been responding to some comment or to posts, and I'm like, I think Ginger Minj did great, and I think she was the winner. And someone's like, oh, you're wrong. I was like, no, I'm not wrong. That's your opinion. We can have differing opinions on this, and it's just a show. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Move on.
It's just a show. like this is not life or death. I wish these same people cared about what's happening to the world.
Yeah. Like,
put that same level of effort into what is going on in our country right now, please.
Focus on better things, people. Right. Focus on better things. As for I the, hold a knife.
I was about to say, for the record, he's holding a knife on me.
And then I see all this. I see all this stuff online, and they're talking about the Epstein files, and like, release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files. So I'm like, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Yeah. Yes, I agree. The Epstein files should be released, and whatever's in them should be public knowledge. However, posting all this crap about it and focusing specifically on that, you're not focusing on something else. Like, I just commented on someone's TikTok post. It was like, it was a representative or someone from like in Congress. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
But Congress is just going to sit on its hands over this whole alligator Alcatraz bullshit.
Yeah, that's like, insane too.
Like, you're totally fine with the fact that we now have our own version of Auschwitz in the United States. But by all means, let's just focus on a dead pedophile's records, please.
And they're planning on trying to get the information, like trying to get, what's it called? The actual Alcatraz reopened,
which is also wild to me.
I'm like, you know how much money that's gonna cost? Because it's, you can't just open it. So they posted, it's Ruben Gallego, I think, Gallego. I don't really know what he does, but he's in the Senate, I guess. So he's a senator for somewhere, and he posted, I'm taking this fight to the Senate floor and forcing Republicans to choose. Release the Epstein files or protect Trump and his elite friends. Just in, I forced a vote on the Senate floor to release the Epstein files. Republicans blocked it. What are they afraid of? So I posted, focus on something else. If you are hellbent on working towards this, your energy is not being focused on things that the American people actually need. Yes, I 100% agree that the files should be released, but this is exactly what they are wanting you to do. Stop splitting your focus and actually do something to make change in America. Like, you focusing on this isn't going to help with what actually needs to be done.
Right.
And the Republicans are just going to keep fighting it. So fight for something else that might actually make a change in the world, and show that the Republicans are not focusing on that, and that they're voting against something that Americans actually want.
Right.
That's what you should be doing.
It's so funny because I keep telling myself that I live in a place that supposedly these people work for me,
but they
not
don't.
The other way around.
They work for corporations.
But they work for corporations. Like, they don't work for the American people. It's supposed to be by the people, for the people, but it's not. No. And like, Democrats are just as fucking bad. They're literally, they could be doing stuff and they're not. It's like you said, they're focusing on the wrong things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, get your shit together. We have people dying because of policies that are going through, and y'all are focused on this.
Yeah. It's like, move on. Moving on. Do something else. Do the eyebrows. Do something else.
Right. Like, just Jesus Christ.
So, would you like to move on to the next couple, like, little bit, talking about Paris is burning?
Yeah, we can totally do that.
The first, like, 40 minutes has been just a rant.
Yeah, pretty much. We've just been ranting about everything.
Yeah, so if you don't like this episode, sorry about it. Sarah and I are going through a lot. We just need to talk. And that's what this podcast is for. Hopefully you all are enjoying our conversation, the six of you that are listening, and we'll see.
To quote Katya and Trixie here, it's our show, not yours.
Yeah.
So we can say whatever the fuck we want.
This is for us. If other people listen, cool. If other people don't listen, also cool.
Also cool. Oh my God. So Paris is Burning. I watched it on YouTube. Unfortunately, there are parts of it on YouTube that for whatever reason, just the audio doesn't work.
That's weird.
Or at least did not work for me. So there were some bits where I have no idea what they, like, I'm just watching people in drag. And I mean, that's okay too. But like,
Do you still have access to my HBO Max account? Or do you have access to an HBO Max account?
I don't think I do.
So it's on HBO Max and that's where I watched it.
Okay. I mean, I'd be down to rewatch it. I was devastated.
Is it Angel?
Venus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was devastated.
Yeah. I didn't realize that happened. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen. And I was like, that is really sad. But it is, like, that is part of what was happening back in the 90s.
I mean, true.
The 80s and 90s.
It still happens, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's as.
It's not. I would say it's not as bad as it was then. But it unfortunately still happens. Trans women in particular still unfortunately get brutally murdered for just being trans women.
Yeah. I think I just got a scam email or a scam text message. Amazon refund notification for your recent purchase. We are sorry to inform you that the seller for your recent order did not meet Amazon's marketplace policies. To ensure your satisfaction, we've automatically enabled your refund eligibility. You're entitled to a full refund without needing to return the item. To request your refund, follow this link.
If it's real, you should be able to access it through your Amazon account as well.
Yeah. So. Sorry. But anyways, I loved it. It was a great show. I think there was a lot of information in it that I didn't realize. Stuff that comes from Drag Race. There were so many quotes from Drag Race that were included. And I didn't realize that that's where a lot of it came from. And that's totally on me.
Like a read or shade and all that. I was like, oh, this is where. Okay. All right. Cool.
So I think I knew about a read because I had seen video or clips of it where they talked about it. But like a lot of RuPaul's one-liners and stuff, a lot of them come from Paris is Burning and the ball scene. And I didn't realize that. I also, in addition to watching Paris is Burning, I watched Wig. I think it was Wig is what it's called. It was all about Lady Bunny and Wigstock.
Okay.
And it was interesting to see kind of like what. So basically it was, they needed a space for people to kind of do drag and to perform and everybody to come and like feel in New York City, to feel like welcomed and all that. And it was just how she kind of went through the like update or doing the planning and rolling out the Wigstock. And then I guess there was another one. It was like recent, not too long ago. And this documentary was about the newest one, and it had footage about old ones and like from 2001 and what happened after 2001 and 9/11 and how it impacted the scene and how it kind of was less of, it wasn't as much, and they kind of stopped doing it for a little while and then they started picking it up again. But for Paris is Burning, I liked how they focused on like what the ball scene was for persons of color and like what it meant to the people that were included, and like how they kind of went from being like nowhere, having no one, to now they're being nurtured in a nurturing environment with like this family that they created themselves.
Yeah.
I do think there are some parts of it that I could see being toxic, and I think they talked about it a little bit sometimes, where it's like it's hard to get into some houses, and like if you don't meet a certain criteria then you can't get into that house, and like you struggle and you have to like do all this just to get into the house, and then it's expensive whenever you are included in some of them.
Yeah.
And then it also talked a little bit about the AIDS pandemic as well, and how people were there one day and then the next day they weren't, because they were hospitalized and then died from contracting AIDS in like the late 80s, early 90s, and how much of a pandemic AIDS was. My thing was, I kept seeing all of these trophies and I was like, where are they getting these trophies? One. And like, what are these people doing with the trophies that they get? And then do they have to bring them back the next year? And then they go to new people? Are they their trophies? Like, what? That to me is strange. I never understand trophy or like prize, like even like Academy Awards and stuff like that. I don't understand those statues and like what are you supposed to do with those?
It's just a symbol to sit on your mantle.
Yeah, and it's nice to have. It's cool to have, but it's like it's cluttering.
Right. Is it gathering dust?
Yeah. And like, just give me money, or give me something that.
Right. Give me something I can actually do something with.
Give me something that's not going to sit on a shelf and collect dust and cause just people to be like, oh, what's that? Like, or give me like a frame, something I can put, like a paper that I can put in a frame and say, oh, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Like, that is something more preferable. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I loved it. It was interesting because I'm trying to remember the name of the queen. Let me look it up. Paris is Burning. There was one particular queen that I had heard of before, but had heard of because of another thing that I listened to on YouTube. It was Dorian Corey. Dorian Corey, after she passed away, they found a dead body in her closet. Like, she had kept this dead body in her closet for like 20 years.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. That's hilarious.
So I was just like, wow. So I had that context.
I think we talked about that on here before, actually.
We might have. But because I listened to I was listening to a lot of true crime, I've tried to cut back because I'm having so many nightmares. It's almost like the world is on fire. I'm just over here like, can we lighten it up a little bit, kids? Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, so that was interesting, because the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just like, she had a dead body in her closet. Bolte yeah. was making this.
Yeah.
That, like
you're watching it and I'm like, is that the luggage that she had the dead body in?
Right. I'm like,
is the dead body there while they're filming this?
I'm like, where's the dead body right now? Is it in the room with
Can
us?
They smell it? Were they like, oh, this is just how drag queen smell?
I'm like, okay, all right. So there was a lot of that in going through my head while I was watching it. But overall, it was a great film. It was very sad because so many things have changed, but there are still so many things that have stayed the same.
Yeah, and some things that have gotten worse.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's insane how like you can see that from in the 90s where it was like that. Well, it was 89 and then it was released in the 90s.
Yeah.
89, I think they filmed it in 87 and then they did like or 88 and then they did the end of it was 89 where they talked about like what happened with the people that were involved in it and
that's when you find out that Venus was murdered.
Yeah. And then I liked the focus of having a lot of like transgender queens in there as well. And like how they started out their gender journey as drag queens. And then they decided or they figured out I'm not just a drag queen. I'm also a trans woman.
Yeah. Which I also thought was beautiful. I was just like, wow, we were totally down with this in the 90s, but y'all are making a big deal about it now.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy the way that the world is right now. I don't understand the focus and like the fascination or the not fascination, but the obsession over this one, like 0.1% of the community and why you're villainizing so few people to just because they want to live their lives.
Right. It's just like, what do you,
like, what would you do if the LGBTQ plus community started completely villainizing Christians? And maybe we should.
I mean,
maybe we should start making it like focusing on that and pulling out the fact that more children are molested and raped by the church.
That. I mean, it's true, but nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
They don't, again, the focus is on the wrong things.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening, if you are, even if you're not a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I think it would be good to watch Paris is Burning.
Agreed.
It's very, just as a highlight, it was in the 90s. So the quality is not great.
there's some stuff grainy. That's not good.
It's very grainy. It's very dark. It's very very of the 90s. So if you're into that type of video footage being and like documentary style, it's a great show. But if you need information or you want information about like the growth and the journey that LGBTQ plus people have gone through, Paris is Burning is a good one to watch. Wig is also a good one to watch. So if you have a chance to watch both of them, I would say watch both of them. Wig is both. It has like the 2000s, early 2000s footage, but it also has footage from like, I think it was 2018 or 2019, something like that, before COVID. Or maybe it was after, it might have been actually right after COVID or during COVID that they did a performance. Let me look it up. Hold on. What is happening?
I don't know.
Your duplicate.
I see that. It's weird and I don't like it.
It is weird.
It's making me feel like I'm watching myself.
But you're not moving. The other one.
I know.
So Wig was in 2000. It was filmed in 2000, primarily in 2018. And it was released in 2019. So it was before COVID-19. COVID. But again, it's a great documentary to watch, and it's on HBO Max if you want to watch it. I don't know where it's anywhere else. There, she's gone. The second Sarah is gone.
The second Sarah is gone.
Something's going on with your, I mean, yours is jacked up anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's an old laptop. I really need to get a new.
So those two I would definitely say if you are interested in knowing more about the LGBTQ plus community, or if you just kind of want something fun to watch, and or if you're a member of the LGBTQ plus community, you should definitely watch both of those.
Oh yeah.
Paris is Burning, definitely. wig is kind of a, it's great to know something that's currently happening because I think they still have wig stock. But moving from that, so another thing that I'm watching that I keep seeing a bunch of discourse online about is And Just Like That, the new Sex and the City series.
Oh.
And people hate it. They hate watch it. And I totally understand. I like to watch it because I think it's fun to kind of hear that, like, see the characters, what they do. Is it not great writing? Yes. Was Sex and the City great writing? Also no. So it's never really been that good of a series anyway. Sex and the City wasn't that good. Right. But it's fun to watch. But, like, some of the discourse is... I don't know if we talked about it. So one of the newer characters, Lisa Todd Wexley. I love this character. She's amazing. She's a Black artist. She's a Black director. She's doing a documentary. She had a, like, it was one, a documentary that she released at a film festival, and it was focused on three unknown influential Black women. And then it was picked up by ABC to do a 10-part series. So now she's taking this three-part or this series, or this, not series, this documentary that was focused on three women, and she's expanding it to 10. And it's like her family, she's like this really wealthy family with her husband works in politics somehow. I think he's like something, he's running to be something, I don't remember, of New York, auditor or something like that. I don't know. That part of it's irrelevant and kind of boring. But it's, I'm going to be pissed if the series makes me not like her character or they do something that makes her character unsavory.
Mm.
Because she's a very, like, grounded, very, like, she's very intelligent. She has a lot of, like, really great qualities. But in not the last episode, but the one before, they made it, it was a very awkward interaction with her that I don't think her character actually would have had or would have done, other than she was like, she might have been a little uncomfortable or embarrassed because her son, they went to a birthday party for Charlotte, and her son was very excited because they were doing karaoke and he wanted to sing karaoke, and to me the way that she was reacting to it came across as a little homophobic. And I was like, don't make her character homophobic, one. And then two, she's like starting, her editor that she had been working with for like 8 years plus or whatever had to move on to a new assignment or a new process. I don't know what's going on with Sarah's camera. Now she's black again. Something's going on. So we'll finish this up after this conversation. We'll finish
this
up.
I'm just like, man, come on. I'm not even doing anything. My internet's staying connected.
But anyways, so her editor, who was this amazing Black woman editor as well, she had to move on to a new project because she'd been working on this for so many years and it's not, she's excited to start working on a different project. And she brought in a new editor that's a man, a Black man. She was worried about it because this is Black women, unsung Black women heroes. So she didn't want it to be, she didn't think a male editor would make sense, but then they started working together and now they're like flirting back and forth. And I'm like, don't make her cheat on her husband either.
Right.
Like, don't make her do these things because I don't think her character would actually do this.
I get that.
Because I really like her character and I don't want them to make her, me not like her character, because she's really the only character that I do like now. Because Carrie is annoying. Her and her Aiden thing is annoying and obnoxious. Charlotte, she's fine, but she's a mother, so that annoys me to no end because it's focused on her family. And like everything she does, it's like my family, or like fighting, not being just a mother, trying to figure out how to be a mom and run or help run an art gallery. And it's like, I don't care. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your family drama. But it's weird because like Lisa Todd Wexley, I like the family drama that she has, or the family interaction that she had, because it's like it's a wholesome family interaction for me.
Right.
And then the other part of this whole thing is Lisa Todd Wexley's father. There's this issue where in season one, episode two, she talks about her dad dying and how like she had to hold it together. And she's like, you could see my hand, my rings shaking on my hands, but I had to hold it together for my family. And then in season three, her dad dies again. But they don't say anything about it. And they also didn't say in season two when he came to a, her dad came to a dinner that they were having. And I was like, okay, so there's two things that could have happened. To like, in my mind, she, there could be two things.
Right.
We don't know her relationship with her husband's dad. Maybe she called him dad.
True.
Because she just said, my dad died. And maybe she had a really great relationship with her husband because they've been married for a long time. They have three kids and one of them is 18. Mm-hmm. Maybe she had a great relationship with her husband's dad, her father-in-law, and she called him dad and he had that big of an impact on her when he passed away.
Right.
One. Or two, her dad ran a theater. So maybe she had two dads.
Right.
Like, there is a possibility where a person can have two dads. Either yeah. her dad is married to another man, or she has a stepfather that she has a very good relationship with.
Yeah.
That some she calls dad. Yeah. Because the one thing is, like, in season one, she said dad. In season two, she said my father died. So there's two different terminologies because dad, like maybe dad is her father-in-law and father mm-hmm. was her biological father, or maybe yeah. dad was her stepdad or her mother's new husband or whatever.
Yeah, and that would make sense to me.
So to me, it's like you're making this big deal of one, it's a show, and two, there's a possibility that someone can have more than one dad or father figure and right. refer to them as dad. So exactly. it is possible that someone that she referred to as dad or father has died. Two people have died. So yeah. I'm like, everybody keeps posting, oh, they killed her father off twice. It's like, well, no, they didn't. And I'm like, do you really not think that one characters would have said something, like the actors themselves wouldn't have said something? And there's so many people that are working on this that they wouldn't have been like, hey, how did her dad die twice?
Right.
Like, they had to have thought about it at some point. Did they include that thought process in the series?
No.
No.
Not surprising, though.
Did they assume that people watching would be like, oh, maybe she had two father figures? The one before was a dad that she called dad, now her father? That was my assumption. Mm-hmm. So, I think people are stupid, and I'm so tired of people giving so much stock to a TV series that doesn't make any difference to the actual world. Move on. Right. Watch it. Enjoy it. Don't take it so seriously. It's a TV series that means absolutely nothing to anyone else.
Right. It's like, it's one thing to be calling out like problematic aspects of yeah. something, but like if you're just nitpicking at something, like, come on.
Yeah, and that's my thing. It's like, I'm not seeing anything anywhere about people calling out the fact that she had like a slight homophobic response to her son doing
karaoke,
but it wasn't even that it was karaoke, it was like musical numbers, and he was like performing to Les Mis was the first one he did a funny, like a song from Funny Girl, and it's like,
love Funny Girl.
This is obvious that they're trying to show this kid in like a queer or LGBTQ light, or that's what they're trying to show this. And her response to it to me was very, a little bit borderline homophobic.
Like towing that line.
Yes. So we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of, again, it'll frustrate me, but again, it's just a show, so it won't really have that big of an impact on my life. I'm still going to watch it because I think it's funny to watch.
Right.
And to me, I like to watch it for the fashion.
There you go.
Because I love the fashion that's in the show. Are some of the things questionable and I think should not be worn? Yes.
Yes.
But I enjoy seeing the fashion and seeing like what, like they're really focusing on the Salvatore Ferragamo bag that's called the hug bag. I don't remember what the actual name on it, or hug carryall or something like that. And it's a gorgeous bag, but it's also like $1,500. And I'll never purchase it, never be able to afford it, but it's a gorgeous bag.
Jesus Christ.
And I've seen two people have it. And it's fun to see and be like, oh, that's the Ferragamo bag that I just saw in the last episode.
That's more than my rent and my car payment combined.
That's insane.
$1,500.
Yeah, mine's over two grand.
Jesus. No, I'm talking about like a bag. Like,
oh no.
Like in comparison, the bag costs more than my rent and my car payment combined.
I know, that's crazy.
But yes, I do have cheaper rent and a cheaper car payment.
Oh, I don't have a car payment anymore.
Well, yeah.
But I do have $2,100 rent.
Yeah, I don't have that. I cannot afford that.
It's insane. Well, is there anything you would like to discuss? What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I think I'm going to lesbian game night tomorrow.
That's fun.
Just because it's been a few months since I got to go. And it's probably about it, to be honest. I'm not doing anything very exciting. I'm tired. So I definitely intend on taking a nap at some point.
That's good.
But yeah, pretty boring. What about you?
I'm going to figure out what I want to do for dinner.
Smart.
Oh,
I should also eat dinner.
We have some of those Blue Apron meals that are in the refrigerator that I might eat. I don't know. We'll see. But then tomorrow, Ryan and I are going to go see the new I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to tell me how it is.
Yeah. I did see that there's a scene after the credit, a post-credit scene. That you have to stay around and watch. Ryan was like, you'll go see that in the movies? I'm like, well, I'll go see anything in the movie if it's worth it, as long as we're not going to the movie theater that's in Providence Place, because it's junk. The movie theater in Providence Place, like the seats are very tiny.
Ballard.
She's frozen. Something's going on with her audio.
I'm frozen again?
No, you were for a second, and then you said valid over top of me talking about the seats.
Oh, my bad, friend.
So the seats, it's fine. The seats in Providence Place, they're very small, and they're the ones that they don't recline, but they lean back.
Mm.
And there's no way to not lean them back. And I hate sitting in seats that lean back like that, because it's uncomfortable for me the entire time. And the ones at Providence Place, or the ones at the one that we in Attleboro that we go to, are like newer. They recline and stuff like that. They're electric reclining seats, so you can either recline them or you can not.
Yeah.
And it's just a nicer one. I'm like, we can go see a movie as long as it's at this one and not a Providence Place, because I won't go to that one anymore.
Fair.
Other than that, we're also going to go get lunch tomorrow, brunch, something tomorrow. And then Ryan wanted to go to Barnes & Noble, so we'll go to Barnes & Noble too.
Love that. I should go to Barnes & Noble. I haven't been in a hot minute.
And then I'm just waiting to get my new glasses. She was like, since you got two pair, I would just wait until you get the second text message letting you know that they're both available to come and get them, because there's no reason to come twice. And then this week I have to figure out what's going on with my school stuff. So I'm going to finish my discussion board post and respond to a couple people and just move forward like nothing happened and figure out what's going on with it. But I have to take the extension course. Yeah, it fucking sucks. I have to take it. And it's making it even longer before I'll graduate. But I don't think I should have to take the extension course. I think that it should be look at it and provide me feedback and make me work on that for the next term.
I agree. Good luck. I believe in you.
Yeah. Well, would you like to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would like to let us know what you would like us to hear to discuss on the podcast, you can email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week, since this will be coming out on a Monday. And Sarah, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You as well. Here's to no more breakdowns for the both of us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of at the point where it's like, whatever. Let me know what I need to do to move on, and I'll do it. I don't care anymore at this point.
I'm not.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.